today we'll be speaking from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And see, there's no bookmark here. So chapter, or canto 10, chapter 10, text 11. Chapter 11, text 41. Okay, sorry. So I'll read text 41. There's no purport. And then I'll read text 42. There's like a one-sentence purport. And 43 also, which is a one-sentence purport. So text 41. Kadachit yamuna tire. I think this is wrong. Yeah, no, it's right. Kadachit yamuna tire. Vatsamscharati svakayi. Vayasyai krishna balayor. Jigham surdaitya agamat. Kadachit yamuna tire. Vatsamscharati svakayi. Vayasyai krishna balayor. Jigham surdaitya agamat. Kadachit yamuna tire. Vatsamscharita svakayihi. Vayasyai krishna balayor. Jigham surdaitya agamat. Prabhuji's. Kadachit yamuna tire. Vatsamscharito svakai. Vayasyai krishna balayor. Jigham surdaicha agamat. Kadachit yamuna tire. Vatsamscharito svai. Vayasyai krishna balayor. Jigham surdaicha agamat. Kadachit yamuna tire. Vatsamscharito svakai. Vayasyai krishna balayor. Jigham surdaitya agamat. Kadachit yamuna tire. Vatsamscharito svakai. Vayasyai krishna balayor. Jigham surdaita agamat. Kadachit yamuna tire. Vatsamscharito svai. Vayasyai krishna balayor. Jagam surdaitya agamat. Matajis. Kadachit yamuna tire. Vatsamscharitayo svaikai. Vayasyai krishna balayor. Jagam surdaitya agamat. Okay, word for word. Please repeat after me. Kadachit, sometimes, Jamuna tire, on the bank of the Jamuna, Vatsan, the calves, Charayatoho, when they were tending, Svakaihi, their own, Vayasyaihi, with other playmates, Krishna Balayo, both Krishna and Balaram. Jigham Suhu, desiring to kill them. Daityaha, another demon. Agamat, reaching there. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. One day, while Ram and Krishna, along with their playmates, were tending the calves on the bank of the river Jamuna, another demon arrived there, desiring to kill them. Please repeat after me. One day, while Ram and Krishna, along with their playmates, were tending the calves on the bank of the river Jamuna, another demon arrived there, desiring to kill them. So reading on to text 42. Tam vatsarupinam viksha vatsa yutagatam harihi darshayan baladevaya shanayed mugdha ivasadat. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead saw that the demon had assumed the form of a calf and entered among the groups of other calves, he pointed out to Baladev, "Here is another demon." Then he very slowly approached the demon as if he did not understand the demon's intentions. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The import of the words mugdha iva is that although Krishna knows everything, here he pretended that he did not understand why the demon had entered among the calves, and he informed Baladev by a sign. And reading one more. Grihitva pada padhabhyam sahalangulam achutaha brahmayitva kapitagre prahinodgat jivatam sakapitayed mahakayaha patyamanayi papataha. Thereafter, Sri Krishna caught the demon by the hind legs and tail, twirling the demon's whole body very strongly until the demon was dead, and threw him onto the top of a kapita tree, which then fell down, along with the body of the demon who had assumed a great form. Purport? Krishna killed the demon in such a way as to get the kapita fruits to fall, so that he and Balaram and the other boys could take advantage of the opportunity to eat them. The kapita is sometimes called kshat belpal. The fruit, the pulp of this fruit is very palatable. It is sweet and sour, and everyone likes it. Om Agyan Dhimidandhasya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshudan Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamai Ham Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gudau Shri Utapata Kamalam Shri Gudun Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagananagadatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vashakan Vitam Shcha. Hey Krishna Kudana Sandho Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Siddhe Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpadadubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we see here the beautiful pastime of Vatsasura being killed by Krishna. It was mentioned a few verses ago, Vrindavanam Govardhanam Yamuna Pulinani Cha, that these three places, Vrindavan Forest, Govardhan Hill, and the banks of the Jamuna, these are the places where Krishna has the most fun. Right? These are his playgrounds. If you remember when you were a little kid, did you ever go to a playground? Or at least by your house, you had a place that you used to have fun with all the other kids in the neighborhood. So these are Krishna's playgrounds. It also mentions there, Viksha Sid Uttama Priti, that when the residents of Vrindavan, when they first arrived there from Gokul, they took a tour, right? And when Krishna and Balaram, these little boys sitting on the bullock carts, when they saw these places, the bank of the Jamuna, when they saw the forest of Vrindavan, and when they saw Govardhan Hill, Uttama Priti, they experienced the highest love, like they felt so happy to see this place. We're going to be able to play there, right? It's just like imagine, you know, I know when I grew up as a little kid, I lived across the street from a park, right? And it was, you know, real fun, lots of other kids and stuff. And when we first moved in there, it was like, wow, you know, you go to the playground, whoa, you know, we're going to have lots of fun, right? So this is Krishna and Balaram when they arrive in Vrindavan. Rama Madhava Yon Bripa. So Rama and Madhava feel this way. They see the highest happiness, and they experience the highest happiness in Vrindavan. And we see that Srila Prabhupada established Krishna Balaram Mandir in Raman Reti, right? I'm sure many of you have been there. That's the place where it's sandy, yeah? And this is the forest of Vrindavan. That's where Krishna and Balaram had so many of their wonderful pastimes. And we see the beautiful deities of Krishna Balaram right there, established by Srila Prabhupada. And then, of course, we know in Nectar of Instruction that Govardhan Hill is described as the even superior to the forest of Vrindavan, because Krishna himself, he took his hand and he lifted it, right? Put it on the pinky of his left finger, which is the weakest part of your body, yeah? But Krishna was so powerful, he was able to lift it. And there it also mentions in Nectar of Instruction that at Govardhan Hill, which is like a playground of Krishna, so many hundreds and unlimited pastimes happened at Govardhan Hill. That place is filled with the activities of Krishna and the cowherd boys and Krishna and the gopis. And also we see in Nectar Instruction it mentions that of all the places in Govardhan Hill, Radhakund is the topmost place. And it mentions because it's filled with Krishna's own prema. Right, we're all aspiring to have Krishna prema, but Krishna's prema, Krishna's love, is overflowing at that place in Govardhan Hill. And then we see the bank of the Jamuna River is also a place where Krishna's had many pastimes. The Ras Lila happened there, right? Also, when Balaram, the Yamuna Karshan Lila, when he took his plow and pulled the Jamuna River towards him, many demons were killed on the bank of the Jamuna. Right, there's the Bakasura, which is coming up soon. The Keshi demon, right? We've all been, I'm sure, most of us, to Keshi Ghat there in Vrindavan. That's where Krishna rammed his fist down the throat of the horse demon, right? And then also, of course, Vatsasura, as we're reading here, it's all on the sandy bank of the Jamuna that all of this is happening. Also, it mentioned a few verses ago, Nana Krida Parichadao, that it's very interesting, all the cowherd boys, they really like to dress up and get ready before they go to the forest, right? They're just little boys here. And they have this responsibility as Vaishyas to herd the cows. But before they enter the forest, it's very beautiful. We should envision these things. They decorate themselves luxuriously, right? They have flower garlands. They have all of their various toys and their various implements. For example, Krishna has his flute. Balaram has his plow. Like, they really get decked out to go and play in the forest. And, it mentions in the Nectar of Devotion that when Krishna gets up in the morning and gets ready to go into the forest, he has his anugas, which are like, they're cowherd boys, they're little boys, perhaps a little younger than him, but they're in the mood of servitorship. And so they help Mother Yashoda. They're her assistants, right? And they get all, you know, Krishna likes to get dressed up. He's Vidagdha Madhava, right? He likes to look very beautiful. And it mentions in Nectar Devotion, like an actor on a stage, right? He really decks himself out before he goes out. And so these anugas, they help with that. And I want to read a quote here from Nectar Devotion. As there are anugas in Dwarka, there are many anugas in Vrindavan also. The names of the anugas in Vrindavan are as follows. Raktaka, Patraka, Patri, Madhukanta, Madhuvrata, Rasala, Suvilas, Premakanda, Marananda, Ananda, Chandrahasa, Payoda, Bakula, Rasada, and Sharada. Descriptions of the bodily features of the anuga in Vrindavan are given in the following statements. Let us offer our respectful obeisances to the constant associates of the son of Maharaj Nanda. They always stay in Vrindavan, and their bodies are decorated with garlands of pearls and with bangles and bracelets of gold. Their colors are like black bees and the golden moon, and they are dressed just to suit their particular specially bodily features. Their specific duties can be understood from a statement by Mother Yashoda, who said, Bakula, please cleanse the yellowish dress of Krishna. Varika, you just perfume the bathing water with a guru scent. And Rasala, you just prepare the betel nuts. You can all see that Krishna is approaching. There is dust overhead, and the cows can be seen very distinctly. So Krishna, you know, he's coming for his midday bath, perhaps, or his morning bath. And so, Mother Yashoda loves to feed Krishna and to take care of him. And so there's all these different servants that are there assisting. And as it's saying here, you know, you prepare the bathing water with a guru scent, cleanse his cloth, prepare everything for him very nicely, and they very humbly serve him. Yeah? There's that beautiful BBT picture where Krishna's standing there, and Mother Yashoda is like dressing Krishna, and then all the other little boys are around Krishna taking care of his bath water and getting his clothes ready. So this is exactly what we're doing for Shishi Rukmini Dwarkadish, isn't it? We're preparing him for his enjoyment. You know, we're given the opportunity by the grace of Srila Prabhupada to do these very same things. As it says here, preparing the bath water with a guru scent, right? Bathing Rukmini Dwarkanath, you know, with the scented water. It's the exact same thing. What a fortunate position we've been given. And so after Krishna's bathed, then, you know, he enters into the forest with the cowherd boys. And as it mentioned a few verses ago, his ankle bells are tingling. We can also imagine he's bugling, he's playing his flute, right? And there's hundreds of cowherd boys, you know, coming into the forest just to enjoy and have fun and play. And this forest of Vrindavan is so beautiful and luxurious, right? Chintamani Prakarasadmasu Kalpa Vriksha. It's filled with these Kalpa Vrikshas. Even one grain of dust of Vrindavan is more valuable than the wealth of Vaikuntha. It's so opulent and beautiful and yet sweet. And I wanted to read a quote from Krishna book where Krishna is talking about the trees of Vrindavan. He says, Krishna then spoke to his elder brother Balaram as follows, My dear brother, you are superior to all of us, and your lotus feet are worshipped by the demigods. Just see how these trees, full with fruits and flowers, have bent down to worship your lotus feet. It appears that they are trying to get out of the darkness that has obliged them to accept the form of trees. Actually, the trees born in the land of Vrindavan are not ordinary living entities. Having held the impersonal point of view in their past lives, they have been put into this stationary condition of life. But now they have the opportunity of seeing you in Vrindavan. And they are praying for further advancement in spiritual life through your personal association. So we see the trees of Vrindavan are very special. They, as Prabhupada mentions here, they are likely impersonalist yogis. Right? And now they're trying to submit to the Supreme Lord. Their branches weighing down with fruits and flowers to please the lotus feet of Lord Balaram. And we see that the cowherd boys, as being mentioned in today's verses, they're really, one of their favorite things to do is that when they're in the forest is they love to get fruits. Right? They love to somehow or other capture the fruits of Vrindavan. These trees laden heavy with these juicy, delicious, succulent fruits. And the cowherd boys love them. Right? In fact, that's part of their sporting. We know they like to play, as it mentioned in yesterday or Monday's verse. You know, they take cloths and put them on themselves, and they pretend that they're cows and stuff, right? You know, and they like to fight, and they do all sorts of things. But one of the things they love to do is compete with each other. Who can get all the fruits? Right? It mentions they're taking rocks and trying to throw them. They're just little boys like this, you know? And these giant trees, some of them is, you know, taller than the ceiling of the temple room, and they're trying to get these fruits down, throwing the different rocks and stuff, and taking ropes and doing anything they can. And it's very interesting how in these different pastimes where Krishna kills demons, you see that he'll actually use the demons to get the fruits. Right? It's like, you know, he's killing these demons because they're coming, they're dangerous, you know. But really, he's always in this mood of having fun with the cowherd boys. Right? He's always using that in order to further what the cowherd boys are already doing. Yeah? And so we see when Vatsasura is being mentioned here today, and it's such a beautiful verse, that kada chit yamuna tire. So one day, you know, on the bank of the Jamuna, just as we sing, you know, yamuna tira vanachari, right? Krishna is always playing in the banks of the Jamuna in the forest of Vrindavan. He's always hanging out there. If you want to find Krishna, go look on the bank of the Jamuna, right? Also, when Krishna danced on the heads of Kaliya, right? That was also at the Jamuna. So, vatsam charayato svakai. So, this demon, and Krishna knew he's a demon, but and it says here he is a mahakaya, he has a giant body. You can imagine this demon is so powerful. Imagine if you walked out of the temple room and you saw this giant demon. He's so tall that his, you know, like the phone lines and the power lines, they just come up to his knees. You know, and you've got this giant demon here, right? And so,
what time do you open the restaurant? You know,
so this just this giant monster, and yet he's shrunk down into the form of a calf. You know, a tiny, a pretty little baby calf, probably no like this big. You know, meh, right? You know, like they're very small and very delicate and beautiful, and so you know, he's pretending to be this innocent creature which needs to be protected. And then he merges in with the other calves. And as it says here, Vasyai Krishna Balayor Jigam Sur Daitya Agamat. But in his heart, he just wanted to kill Krishna and Balaram. Isn't that freaky? Right? Like he's just, his whole meditation is just, you know, I'm going to take a moment and I'm going to kill him as soon as I can. Yeah? And Krishna wasn't fooled. He's Darshayan Baladevaya. He kind of turned to Balaram and said, you know, look at, you know, there's a demon, right? Check out this calf over here. And then it says, Mugdha, the Shanayed Mugdha Ivasayat. So Krishna pretended like he didn't know. You know? And then he sort of like, just very stealthily or casually walked up, you know, Shanayi, very slowly, gently, kind of made his way over towards the demon. And then, whoop, he grabbed him by the legs, you know? Right? This calf thought he was sneaking up, and Krishna grabbed him by the legs and grabbed him by the tail, and then started swinging him around so fast that the demon left his body. And then, as it mentions here, these trees, these kapita fruit trees, Krishna threw him up into the kapita fruit tree and knocked down all the fruits. And Prabhupada is mentioning here that this kapita tree is very special, right? That the fruits are very delicious. It's also called the kshat bell fruit. And its pulp is very palatable. It is sweet and sour, and everyone likes it. So I have a little, because it's talking about the fruits here. Oh, there's Krishna swinging around Vatsasura. Next one, please. So because it's talking about the fruits, and we don't really see these fruits too much. It's hard to get them in America. I thought I would show everyone what they look like. So this is the kapita fruit. It's the wood apple tree. And you see these, they almost look like baseballs. Next one, please. But as they get ripe, they harden and they become hard, like a, you know, you probably have to push on them real hard, like a walnut, to crack them open. And then you see there's this juicy, almost like halva inside, right? And as Prabhupada says here, it's very delicious. The cowherd boys love this fruit. Next one, please. So doesn't it look nice? Wouldn't you all like to taste it? Well, guess what? I brought some wood apple jam. And our favorite cowherd boy, Nimai Prabhu over there, he, after class, when Rabindranath Prabhu is giving you your required halava, then he will take some wood apple jam on a spoon and he'll give you each a taste. Is that okay? So you could taste this delicacy of the cowherd boys. So also it mentioned in the previous verse, they're also after the amalaki fruit. Okay. And so this one, it kind of looks like a greenish plum, you know, like we have these yellow plums that we get all the time. Next one, please. So there's, and it has the pit just like the plum, but it has a very indescribable taste, but it's actually very commonly used in Ayurveda. It balances all the doshas. It's like one of the triphala, the main fruits of Ayurveda. Next one. And also, of course, the cowherd boys were after the bale fruit. This was mentioned in the previous verses. So, next one. These are also very, very important fruits. They're considered sacred in India, right? They're, well, everywhere, obviously. They're sacred to Lord Shiva, and many people keep them. Many temples of Lord Shiva have these orchards of these different fruits. Please continue. And so they're actually very delicious. This is a version of a candied one, like you take out the inside and you can dry them and candy them. So the cowherd boys were eating these delicious fruits. Next one, please. And then, of course, we know that something similar happened with Lord Balaram, right? In fact, the forest of Tal. Tal are like palm trees. It's like the ones we have here. These are like more royal palms, and their fruit doesn't taste very well. You see these little orange things all over the ground, you know, in Los Angeles. They don't taste so nice. But in India, they have these palmyra, I think they're called, these different types of palm trees. They're very tall. Next one, please. And they have these delicious fruits like that. And so these big, giant, juicy, coconut-like fruits. And so the cowherd boys, they were smelling these, right? They're getting ripe on the trees, and the cowherd boys could smell this talavan, this forest of tala trees. And it was like the delicious flavor was spreading all throughout Vrindavan. But they couldn't go there because this demon, Dhenukasura, was there. This huge, powerful demon in the form of an ass. And the cowherd boys were essentially begging Krishna to go there, right? And do something about it. Because they wanted these fruits. I'll read a little bit from this pastime here. This is from Krishna book. His most intimate friends, Sridhama, Subala, and Stoka Krishna, addressed Krishna and Balaram with great love and affection thus. Dear Balaram, you are very powerful. Your arms are very strong, you see? So they're glorifying, getting him ready, right? And you know the coward boys, they're always going, they're always slapping their arms and, you know, challenging each other to wrestle, right? You are very strong. Dear Krishna, you are expert in killing all kinds of disturbing demons. Will you kindly note that just near this place there is a big forest of the name Talavan? This forest is full of palm trees and all the trees are filled with fruits. Some have fallen down and some are very ripe, even in the trees. So it's kind of like, look, they're just all over the ground. You don't even have to go there and climb the trees, right? To climb a coconut tree like this or a palm tree is very difficult. Yeah, you have to be able to climb it and put your legs on it. There's a certain way they walk up. But here the coward boys are putting forth their argument. Look, you could just go there and they're just lying all over the ground, ready for the taking. It is a very nice place, but because of a great demon, Dhenukasura, it is very difficult to go there. No one can reach the trees to collect the fruits. Dear Krishna and Balaram, this demon is present there in the form of an ass, and he's surrounded by similar demon friends who assume the same shape. All of them are very strong, and so it is very difficult to approach this place. Dear brothers, you are the only persons who can kill such demons. Other than you, no one can go there for fear of being killed. Not even animals go there. And no birds are living there, and they have all left. Excuse me. One can only appreciate the sweet aroma that is coming from that place. It appears that up until now, no one has tasted the sweet fruits there, either on the tree or on the ground. Dear Krishna, tell us frankly, we are very attracted by this sweet aroma. Dear Balaram, if you like, let us all go there and enjoy these fruits. The aroma of the fruits is now spread everywhere. Don't you smell it from here? Right? So they're really enticing Krishna. Let's go taste them. Can you go to the next slide? So they're kind of big, you know, and when they come down from the ground, they look like a giant coconut. Next one, please. And then when you cut them open, you pull out these like clumps, these clumpy things. They're like, this is like a soft skin that you can just peel off with your fingers. And then inside, it's like a jelly. You've all seen the lychee fruit? So it's like a soft white jelly and it's very sweet. This is just like that. It's almost like a lychee, but it tastes more like coconut. Can you imagine? Like a lychee with a coconut flavor. So no wonder the coward boys are really mad after this, right? You can smell them, Krishna. Look, you can smell them. They're ready. No one has tasted them before. Only you are strong enough to get them. Everyone else is afraid, right? Let's go get them. So when Krishna and Balaram continuing entered when they entered the forest, what Balaram did is he started like shaking the trees and getting them to fall, right? And then when they started to, you know, clump, clump, clump onto the forest floor, Dhenukasura heard this and he became enraged. And he's super powerful. And he began galloping towards them full speed, right? Full of anger. And it mentions there in Krishna book that he's so powerful that the ground was shaking like an earthquake and all the trees started shaking. And when he came to Balaram, he immediately ran and flipped around and kicked him in his chest as hard as he could, which is, you know, extremely strong. And yet Balaram, he just acted like nothing happened, you know, like full blown, you know, like Dhenukasura's full force right into his chest. It should have killed him, but Balaram just stood there like, hi. Nice to meet you. You know, there's no effect whatsoever. And then he tried it again, and Balaram grabbed him just by one hand. Right? He didn't even like need two hands. He just took one hand, grabbed both of his legs, and began spinning him around until he died from the centrifugal force. And then he threw him into these tall trees. And he threw him so hard that he flew through the tree, right? And then flew through many other trees, like, you know, like a just went plowing through this forest, knocking down trees. And when the trees fell, they knocked down other trees, right? So there's literally thousands of these tall fruits now all over the ground for the cowherd boys. And then, of course, many other of these, you know, as it mentions here, his friends, they all became galloping in. And Krishna then grabbed one and threw him around. And they all, you know, and they began killing all these different ass demons until the forest was free of these demons. And it mentions that in Krishna book that after all these demons were killed, then Talavan was opened up to the residents of Vrindavan. And everyone would go there and get the fruits and all the animals and birds and everything returned, right? So it's very wonderful. Next one, please. So we see that Krishna loves fruit. And it makes sense. Here in New Dwarka, we have so many, every single offering we do, every time we cook for Krishna, there's always some fruit, isn't it? Every single one, there's a fruit salad. And there's also dry fruits, you know? So this is, this is because Krishna loves fruit. And we even have one offering which is only fruit, right? You're all welcome to do it if you like. So the fruit offering, why, you know, if you just put this together, why is it that Srila Prabhupada gave us a system where we offer Krishna these same exact fruits? Well, it's because this is what Krishna likes, right? When Krishna's in the forest of Vrindavan, he eats these different fruits. Now, it's very hard to get these particular types of fruits because they're from India. But we offer Krishna all the fruits and berries and things like that that grow here. Like all these berries that we buy, they come from just up in, by Santa Barbara and in the Central Valley, avocados, these different things. We offer these things to Krishna because he loves to explore the forest of Vrindavan with his friends and taste these fruits. We're being given the opportunity to participate in his pastimes. As we mentioned with the dressing of Krishna, so Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, Sri Sri Gornitai, they've come very mercifully and they're allowing us to participate in these same activities. Isn't it amazing? Even though we're residents of Kali Yuga, practically speaking, at least speaking for myself, there's actually negative qualification. Right? And yet, somehow or other, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, by the grace of the Guru Parampara, by the order of Srila Bhakti, Siddhanta, Sarasvati, and these great acharyas, they're giving this mercy to the entire world on behalf of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so, we have to see the tremendous treasure that we've been given and feel grateful that we're given an opportunity, even in our own little way, to somehow or other serve Krishna just as he served by these residents of Vrindavan. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Are there any questions or comments or anything? Okay, so please see Nimai Prabhu outside. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.